Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Tim Wildman here with Ed Vitagliano and now Steve Paisley Jordahl.
Hello, everybody.
Good morning, Steve.
Hi, good morning.
You know, I was talking about the snacks that our staff...
I heard you talking about the snacks, and when you first started, I got up from my desk because I'm about 50 feet away, and I went and got a pretzel.
What'd you get?
I got a cupcake.
A donut?
Cupcake.
Oh, they're good.
Cupcakes.
Yeah.
I had two of the chocolate pretzels during the five-minute break there, because with really when you sample, you need more than one, right? Because one could be
a fluke.
Like, could be a fluke.
It could be a fluke. So you want to make sure that what you're tasting is consistent, so you go for the second one. So I did that, and they are excellent. Did you say that's from your family, Ed?
Yeah, this my granddaughter turned 2.
Yeah.
They had the party on Saturday.
Yeah.
And a bunch of family over. They made pancakes. It was 10 a.m. They had cupcakes. They had these pretzels with, is that chocolate?
I don't know. Chocolate.
Chocolate.
Chocolate covered pretzels. White chocolate.
The cupcakes were made by this young lady who used to go to our church, may still go in the later service, Heather Greaves.
Yeah.
She is amazing. So I had the cupcake. I had one cupcake on Saturday, but they had all these leftovers. So my son and daughter-in-law sent them up here.
All I said was, okay. So your family brought them. Okay. And you're giving me the history behind
the
whole thing.
And this young lady, Heather Greaves,
she was born in what year, Ed? anyway, those chocolate-covered pretzels, they're worth eating.
I avoided those Saturday, but now I'm thinking
maybe
I should.
Anymore. Two's enough.
I'll just say that two is also a fairly small sample size, you know, if you're going to really do a poll on it.
Yeah. Yeah. You guys keep telling yourselves that.
All right. So what do you got for us there, Brother Steve?
Well, let's talk about the Boy Scouts, or what used to be the Boy Scouts, are now Scouting USA. And
why'd they change their name?
Well, because boy is so restrictive. You know,
they let girls in.
And who's to say what a definition of a boy is anyway? It could
be. The Boy Scouts of America, did that, didn't they?
Yeah, they did. They changed their name. They changed their name.
They angered the Girl Scouts because what used to be called the Boy Scouts now allows girls in, and the Girl Scouts are going, hey, that's our gig.
The Boy Scouts of America also changed, they changed their name because they wanted to get away from the boys part of the. So it's Scouting USA, right?
Yes.
And then they also changed their policy to allow open homosexuals to be scoutmasters.
They did that a while back, yeah.
Yeah, that was early 2000s.
10 or 15 years ago or longer. Like. So some people would say they went woke, the Boy Scouts of America did. They changed their name. They're changing their policies to reflect a more modern approach to human sexuality,
I wouldn't be surprised someday to see what used to be known as the Boy Scouts and is currently the Girl Scouts, to see them join up, become one scouting organization. It'd be like Ichabod marrying Jezebel, but it'd be, they'd combine the two organizations that have gone over to the dark side.
Ichabod, Mary, Jezebel, their Twitter name would be Isabel.
All right, why are they in the news?
Well, they're in the news because Secretary of Defense or Secretary of War, Pete Hegseth, has decided to cut ties, or that the Defense Department is cutting ties with scouting. There is a law on the books that gives Boy Scouts of America access to military bases and facilities and the use of their vehicles at the discretion of the Department of Defense. Well, our Secretary of War is saying, we no longer want this affiliation. You know, Secretary Hegseth has been kind of cleansing the military of all woke as well. And so this is the next logical step, I guess.
You can't get any more woke than Scouting USA or the Girl Scouts. Girl Scouts went woke and pro-homosexual even before the Boy Scouts. This was back in the mid to late 90s for the Girl
part,
Scouts.
The part that I've never quite understood, and I know that the Scouting USA, is that what they call themselves?
Scouting America.
Scouting America has not had to explain this part of it, but follow me here on the logic. The Girl Scouts of America, for example, would they allow a male to be a scout?
No.
Okay.
I don't think they've, anymore. I don't know that that's been challenged since we don't know what the definition of man and woman are anymore in this kind of mixed up culture that we're in.
Well, they used to not, both organizations used to not allow a person of the opposite sex to be over. Now, we did have den mothers. I remember I was in the Cub Scouts of America, but we had den mothers, but that was before you reach puberty.
Those Cub Scouts,
Cub Scouts. Is that what did I say?
That's good.
Cub Scouts. You had den mothers.
I had a den mother.
Yeah. But once you reach Boy Scouts, we blow in above Boy Scouts, then it was males.
You needed role models. They wanted to have positive role models for the boys.
They did camping trips and stuff.
Yeah.
And
would they let a male be in charge of Girl Scouts that are 14, 15 years old?
I doubt it.
Why?
I can't argue on their behalf. Their arguments would be illogical given where.
Here's my argument, and that we won't explore this any longer. Is I think the wisdom in a policy like that would be you don't want to allow somebody who is an adult who is sexually attracted to the opposite sex to be in charge. You don't want a 38-year-old man being over a group of 14, 15-year-old girls.
That would be very bad. It could end very badly.
I think that would be the reasoning for it. I'm not saying somebody who does that's a pervert because because you have that kind of thing in sports all the time. I mean, coaches are, you have men coaching girls junior high and high school basketball teams. You don't think, they're a pervert for that reason. You know what I'm saying? So that's not necessary, but they do have policies. They did have policies at least in one time on both of these organizations where you couldn't. So why would you allow a man who's sexually attracted to males to be over young men? You see what I'm saying?
Bingo.
There are two worlds anymore. There's the world that we all live in, which is logical. There are two genders, and you want to protect the spaces of women and girls from men, and then there's the world that has become kind of the woke world that many people want to live in, where there's multiple genders and they don't know the difference between men and women and everything. And I don't know that the issue of a male leader in a Girl Scout troop has been challenged or has been brought up.
I don't even know if it's an issue anymore.
It might not be an issue. I don't know. Again, I haven't seen it in the news. All I'm seeing is that this story particularly is that the Boy Scouts have lost their way when it comes to good male role modeling and the military no longer wants to be associated with
it. I remember I went on CNN, or I think it was 20 years ago or so, and I better be careful about the organization. Which one of them that started going woke early was the
Girl Scouts?
The mentoring groups. Was it Boys and Girls Club?
Oh yeah, Boys and Girls Club of America.
Was that the one?
They did.
Okay, so I remember I was on a CNN program. We were talking about this because they said that they were going to allow open homosexuals to be mentors to the kids in the program, and I thought, well. And at the same time, they had a policy that forbade, if that's the right word, forbade a male being a mentor for a young girl. And the policy was you don't put a male as a mentor for a young girl.
And everyone knows why. And you just explained it.
So I asked the question on CNN at the time, why is that? Just for the you said everybody knows because you don't want the sexual attraction dynamic to enter into a mentorship.
Right.
Or the temptation for it to. So you keep them separate. Women mentor girls, men mentor boys, right?
Right.
Now, that doesn't mean you can't have... But so why... So I asked the question, if the reason is to prevent the sexual attraction dynamic from entering into a mentorship, why would you want to put somebody who is a homosexual who is attracted to the same sex as a mentor over? Why would you want to put a homosexual man who's 35 in a mentorship program over an 11-year-old boy?
Right.
Wouldn't the same principle, you see what I'm saying here?
Absolutely.
And they had no answer for me.
Of course they had no answer.
Huh?
Because everyone knows why their policy was you don't have, even a 24-year-old male, you don't have them mentoring a 13 or 14-year-old
girl.
Everyone knows why. And they knew why.
You wouldn't allow that at church?
No.
Or you wouldn't allow that anyway, go ahead.
They knew why, and I bet they didn't say why. Or they try to make it a distinction.
No, they didn't. They avoided it altogether because it's an unanswerable question. The answer that would be consistent would go against
their
new policy. Their non-discriminatory policy.
Yep.
Okay. All right, you're listening to Today's Issues on AFR. Go ahead, Steve.
I want to talk a little gun control here, if we don't, and how bad it's getting, not just here, but it's getting very bad in England. a man from Yorkshire, England, was visiting here in the United States. His name was John Richelieu Booth, and he had some friends here. He was visiting in Florida, and he decided to, they took him out, and took him out to the range. You know, my first weekend here in Mississippi, when I first moved here, the people from the church that I visited invited me out, and the first thing they did was open up the back of a pickup truck and had an arsenal of all kinds of guns and pistols. I mean, they're real proud. Down here, we're real proud of our ability to handle guns. And so they had this Mr. Richelieu out, and he has a picture of himself that he posted to social media of him holding a shotgun. You could kind of tell by the picture that he's not used to holding a shotgun, but he posted it. Upon arrival back in the UK, the police showed up at his door, and they arrested Mr. Richelieu Booth, and they said that he was charged with offensive posts, allegations of possessing a firearm with intent to cause fear or violence. He was told to be careful what he says online because he needs to understand how it makes people feel. That's what England is doing.
He was arrested for something he did in the United States.
Now, they tried to kind of make
it. It was just a picture of him at a shooting range?
Picture of him holding
with
a shotgun.
Not even like a...
And he was arrested.
He was arrested. He was held overnight.
Wow. So can they arrest an American citizen for the same reason?
I don't know. You would be subject to the same laws.
That's what I'm saying. When,
yeah, I suppose they could if you posted pictures of firearms over there.
Man, you talk about going woke. That's a W-O-K-E with caps.
Huh? It is. I have another story here that I'd like to bring up. In conjunction. Not everybody in the U.S. knows how to handle firearms here in the U.S. Des Moines, Iowa, Dateline Des Moines, Iowa. The police detectives are asking the public's help in locating a man wanted for gun and drug charges. His name is Damian Buckner. He's 36 years old, and he's missing. He was being charged with illegal possession of drugs, and he had handguns, and I believe he was not legally able to own the handguns. He hid the handguns in his oven and forgot that he put them there, and then started heating up the oven.
You mean loaded?
Loaded. And one of the guns went off, and it injured him.
Isn't that funny, Steve?
Well...
Man got injured.
Yeah, I know.
Huh? And you're laughing.
I am.
Not at that, obviously. You thought of something else funny.
Well, yeah, right. Injured when a handgun stored in an oven fired multiple rounds off as the oven was heating up.
Okay, he wasn't seriously hurt.
He was not seriously hurt.
Right, all right.
But,
You ain't going to live that one down for a while.
You think?
No.
I'm not going to live that one
down. Hey, that's the guy who.
Yeah. You remember old, what was his name? What was this guy's name, Steve?
The guy's name was Damian Buckner.
Yeah.
You remember old Buckner? Remember,
Where are your guns, Damian?
He wasn't all too bright, was he?
Where'd you hide your guns today? In the microwave?
Dishwasher, maybe? Microwave.
All right. Maybe he's learned his lesson right there. Let's hope so, huh? All right. Next story,
Steve. All right,
Steve.
Tim, you sent, I wanted to investigate this. You sent around a story a little after Thanksgiving about the national anthem at one of the Thanksgiving Day NFL games sung by CeCe Winans.
The legendary gospel singer.
Legendary gospel singer.
It was Detroit Lions football game.
And the article said that many people are saying it's the best ever national anthem. I have a couple nominations of my own that I would like to put before y'all. But let me play the last 20 seconds or so of CeCe's national anthem at this game so you can kind of get an idea of how this sounded, Cut 12.
Oh, the land of the free and the home of the brave.
That's not bad.
No.
Here's what I respect. I mean, it was respectful. It was...
Ed said that in...
I said that in jest. Sorry,
yeah, really? Jest. Yeah, he meant it was excellent.
She's amazing.
Yeah, she is amazing, and it was well done.
Yeah,
the best ever. There are a couple national anthems that get mentioned often when they say the best ever. One of my favorites though is by the Gaither Vocal Band. Have you guys ever heard the national anthem by the Gaither Vocal Band
at a ball game?
I don't think so.
Well, they've done it at several ball games, but let me this is their.
So this is four versus one.
It is. That's true. It's not that. It may be not a fair fight, but this is the last 20 seconds of their national anthem, Cut 13.
For the land of the free and the home of the
sound like a barbershop quartet there.
Well, it's not barbershop chords, but that is, I think, one of the best. The whole thing is inspirational.
Didn't Whitney Houston also have one that was considered in the...
This is the other one that always gets mentioned, and we'll play this. This is the last 30 seconds. Now, there is some context to the Whitney Houston. This is at the Super Bowl, and it was at the Super Bowl right after we had started the Gulf War. Operation. There's a lot of patriotism going around, and Whitney Houston was asked to sing the national anthem. She had a full orchestra behind her at the time, and this is what the last 20 some seconds of her national anthem sounded like. Cut 14.
To beat that.
Let me ask you this.
I love her voice.
How does that was Whitney Houston that's you're born with that, right?
Yeah. You might have some
some voice lessons
along the way, but it's like being Michael Jordan or Patrick.
You can either
Mahomes.
Jump that high or you can't. You can either reach that octave.
Yeah.
It's not just the range with her, it's the tone, and you're born with the tone. Now, the best singers will have that gift, and then they will also leverage it as best they can with the best training they can get.
I did that.
Whitney Houston, yeah.
But you reach a point where either you're going to go on with your career.
Right. When you're called into the ministry, Tim, you got to leave.
You got to make choices.
You got to leave those things behind.
So anyway.
So I would rank those in this order. The best ever that I've heard is the Whitney Houston, and I would put the Gaithers in just of those three ahead of CeCe. Now CeCe was pretty good,
Of course, those are just three of thousands of renditions of the national anthem that have been played over the decades.
I was privileged to sing the national anthem.
Sporting events.
Were you?
Yeah. Several times for the Colorado Springs Sky Sox, but I also was won a contest and was able to sing a national anthem with the Portland Trailblazers.
No kidding. You sang?
At an NBA game?
At an NBA game.
That's impressive. Well, I'm giving you a fist bump, man.
There you go.
Yeah. Now you're a trained singer. I would defer to you in terms of ability and all those kind of. I don't even know what the right words to say.
I would have put
Whitney Houston. I like CeCe Winans. I'm not a big barbershop quartet kind of guy, so that's just personal taste. I would have put the Gate.
That was 4-on-1 though.
I just need to be in the interest of accuracy. I have to say that's not barbershop quartet.
That was Tim's description.
That was Tim.
Barbershop quartet.
I'm going with the president of the ministry.
But they did sound like a barbershop quartet.
The barbershop is characterized by certain chords that chord structures that were not in that particular. That's closer to a Southern gospel.
He's trying to
quartet.
Confuse us, Ed.
Southern gospel quartet
working.
Version.
I'm confused.
Did you know? Little bit of trivia here that our own Sandy Rios,
yes,
once sang the national anthem for the Chicago Bears.
Mm-hmm. I did not know that.
I knew
she was a singer. She put out albums.
And NFL. Oh, she was. Yeah, yeah. She's an excellent singer. I mean, was
multi-talented.
Yeah.
I couldn't find her version. I might have included it in the contest.
Sandy, I have a couple of her albums. They were. Couple decades ago, decades ago, but she very much sounded like Barbara Streisand in her
high praise.
Yeah, I know.
High praise. And without the politics.
Oh, yeah.
Even better.
Oh, no. Sandy's, they're worlds apart on politics. Yeah. I'm just saying her voice sounded a lot like that.
Sandy is one of my, Sandy.
Barbara Streisand?
Barbara's one of my favorite singers.
You take the
artists.
Politics out of it?
You take the politics out of it. She had
Am I alone here in that I have gotten to increasingly to the point where I can't stand leftist actors to the extent that I just won't watch? I just can't watch their stuff. I mean, I can't have anybody off the top of my head.
Robert De Niro, can't watch
the movie.
I'm not
going to watch Robert De Niro. Yeah. I mean, it's a shame because some of these people are phenomenal actors and actresses, but all I see. When I see them is what they have said, and they hate us. Many of them hate God, and it never used to be that way. I used to be able to say, okay, well, they believe differently, but
there's a difference between it depends on the degree of hostility that they have expressed towards God or Christians. That I'm the same way, but it depends on the. Depends on you're right. Yeah. Some of the people.
I might avoid their newer stuff out of protest, but he was in Godfather, wasn't he?
Robert De Niro,
and Robert Duvall, and
By the time Duvall actually has been fairly conservative in politics, but by the time you get to halfway through the movie, I have forgotten. It's such a good movie. I have forgotten about their politics.
Yeah,
newer movies, maybe not.
Yeah. All right, we're out of time. Thank you, Steve.
My pleasure.
Our thanks to Fred Jackson, Brent Creeley, our producer, Ed Battagliano, who brought the sweets.
For members of my family, of La Familia.
Yeah. Was anybody else on the show today?
Did you say Brent? Did you get Cole?
I think Brent.
How about Cole?
Cole, yeah. Thank Cole, too, for doing the video. All right, we'll see you tomorrow, everybody. Have a great afternoon. Keep listening to AFR.